Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, and in the epistle reading from the book of Acts, we heard about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the initial reaction of the people. But the story goes on from there. The people had a mixed reaction. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" But then it says others mocked and said, "They are full of new wine." In other words, they're just drunk. These people are being foolish. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised up his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since this is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel.'" And he goes on to quote the prophecy of Joel, which was one of the readings from the vigil last night. And he quotes from the Psalms as well, and he recounts all the things that Christ did, all the things that we've commemorated throughout Holy Week and since, the many miracles that Christ performed and the signs and wonders that he did, and the fact that the people of Israel were left without any excuse to reject such a curse. But as a matter of fact, that they did. St. Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And further on he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" They realized that they were guilty. They were confronted with yet another miracle, the miracle that the apostles were speaking, and yet everyone heard them in their own native language. And they were confronted with the reality and their memory of all the things that Christ had done. And many of those people present that day were the same people that shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." They were responsible. They had a sense of guilt. It says they were cut to the heart. But when we hear this, we shouldn't just sit back and say, "Well, those Jews sure were stubborn people." We should think about ourselves, because the scriptures are written for our benefit, not so that we can look back and see how bad other people were. And in many ways, when we who have heard the gospel in some cases all of our life and yet have so often not followed that gospel and have rejected the teachings of Christ, we are even more guilty than those people, because when the people shouted, crucify him, and they watched him be crucified, they didn't know that he was going to rise from the dead. They knew that there was something about this person, but they might have been convinced that maybe he was just a sorcerer or a blasphemer. But after he rose from the dead, That question was put to rest. And we know the whole story. And yet so often, we are just as guilty as they are, because the scriptures talk about how when we sin, we crucify the Son of God afresh. I read a story about a man, or a missionary, who was in India. This was back probably in the early part of the 20th century, and he was in a village where people had never even seen a slideshow or a movie, so they had none of the kind of entertainments that we were used to, and also these people had never heard the gospel. And this missionary had a slide projector, and so he had slides that told the story of Christ, and one of these men who'd never heard it before was so moved that when the slide came up, it showed Christ on the cross. He came forward and he said, "Son of God, come down from the cross. It should be me and not you." That's the attitude that we should have, because we are guilty. Not those people 2,000 years ago. We are guilty. We nailed Christ to the cross with our sins. Christ died in our place. And so we, with them, need to ask the question, "Brethren, what should we do?" And Peter gives the answer. "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. Now most of us here have already been baptized, so we can check that off the list, but we've sinned after that, so now what do we do? Well, the church teaches us that there's a second baptism, and that's the baptism of repentance. That's the baptism of tears. And we have a sacrament of confession, in which you have the opportunity to confess your sins with the priest as a witness, fulfilling what the scripture said to people who had an infectious disease and the law, that they were to go and show themselves to the priest. Spiritually, that's what we're also supposed to do. In the prophecy of Joel, the same chapter that St. Peter quoted from in his sermon, it says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." When it says, rend your hearts and not your garments, the Jews, when they mourned or when they were outwardly showing signs of sorrow or repentance, would tear their garments. And that in and of itself was not a bad thing. It was an outward way of showing one's sorrow. But what he's saying is rend your heart, not your garments, because people were outwardly going through the motions, but they weren't really repenting. They really weren't sorry. And the point that he was really making there was not to end the custom. And we also in our church have many outward things that we do that show our love and devotion to God and our repentance. And those things are good. But we need to make sure that we have the inward reality, that we're rending our hearts and not just our garments. The reading in Acts continues. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. This promise of the Holy Spirit is a promise of forgiveness. It's a promise of salvation. It's a promise of being given the power to walk in newness of life as a new person with a new heart. We need to embrace that promise. We need to truly repent. And then we need to, with joy, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread of the Eucharist, and in prayer. Amen.